From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We have got a lot to get to on today's show, including the two most important things that every person of faith needs to be doing this election: how you can make an informed decision when you go to cast your ballot, and an unprecedented but much-needed primetime takedown of pro-choice arguments that every American needs to hear, plus some more importance on the culture of life. But first, the big news items from our nation's capital this week. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley announced her resignation, which came as a shock. In a press conference with President Trump earlier this week, Ambassador Haley announced she will be stepping down at the end of the year. The president praised her work, saying she's done an incredible job, and Haley called her time at the UN the honor of a lifetime, but said she believed it was her time to go and that she's a firm believer in term limits. The president noted that Ambassador Haley told him months ago she was considering taking a break, and that appears to be the sole reason behind her departure. And Ambassador Haley cited budget cuts to the UN, the United States withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal, and moving the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem as evidence that now, quote, the United States is respected. Ambassador Haley has been a truly admirable public servant. This is a huge loss. There is no question. She has been a staunch and loyal defender of the United States and our nation's interests. In the United Nations, she has earned a lot of praise for her work, and deservedly so. Ambassador Haley has been a strong, uncompromising voice for U.S. foreign policy, particularly on human rights and religious freedom issues. She will be sorely missed. The other major news from D.C. this week was, of course, Justice Kavanaugh officially being sworn in and already sitting on the bench hearing cases. He was already this past week participating in oral arguments. And what do you know? The world has not ended. We're all still here. But the saga around Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation is just the latest example that elections have serious consequences. Justice Kavanaugh was confirmed by the slimmest of possible margins. But it wasn't just Justice Kavanaugh himself. It was the presumption of innocence, the right to a fair trial and rule of law, fundamental principles of our country that were and still are hanging by a thread. If entirely uncorroborated allegations would have been allowed to destroy the life, career, and family of Justice Kavanaugh, well, that should concern all Americans. And Focus on the Family President Jim Daly weighed in this past week, releasing a statement and offering some wisdom that I think is worth sharing. And so this is a quote from Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, following the conclusion of now Justice Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court. He says, "This vote has always been about something other than Judge Kavanaugh, who is a good man and a fair and impartial jurist. Some see him as a possible fifth vote on the court to overturn Roe v. Wade someday, since he appears to be more of a constitutionalist judge than the justice he is replacing, Anthony Kennedy. As such, Judge Kavanaugh was a marked man before he was even nominated, as evidenced by the protesters at the Supreme Court with fill-in-the-blank protest signs awaiting the president's announcement of his pick back on July 9th. The Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer announced on July 10th that he would oppose Kavanaugh with, quote, everything I've got, before he had read a single judicial opinion written by the judge. There are, of course, deeper issues in play here. If we continue to look to the Supreme Court to create laws that we can't pass via the democratic process in Congress or in state legislatures, we are going to go through the same sickening circus that we just went through now, where there is no tactic too low to deploy in the quest to destroy good men and women who are willing to serve our country and have the skills and qualifications to do so." He goes on to say, "I have no doubt that Justice Kavanaugh will serve with distinction and honor while on the Supreme Court. He's already done so during his almost 30 years of public service. But if we don't learn from this moment in time, if we continue to retreat to our tribes on every issue and view everyone else as an enemy, and if we don't return the function of the judicial branch back to the way our founders envisioned rather than what it has become, then God help us. In fact, I believe God can help us if we turn to Him. I think there's a lot of truth in that statement. And this whole ordeal and the way everything has played out and escalated so severely, I think has caused a lot of people across the country to wake up and see that this is not the time to stay home or sit this midterm election out. There is simply too much at stake here, which leads me to my next and main point today, the two most important things that every single person of faith can and must be doing this election cycle: pray and vote. Two simple things that we hear a lot about, that we talk a lot about, but when people actually show up and do both of those things, the difference that it makes is huge and lasting. Pray and vote, vote and pray. These are the things that we have to be doing and encouraging everyone in our circle of influence to be doing as well. And look, we're not going to leave you out there to dry or do it on your own. We've made it very easy for you. We have some fantastic resources coming out from Nebraska Family Alliance. One of the key missions at NFA is to mobilize prayer. And so this week, on October 17th, we are launching a special 21-day prayer election guide. It's focused on praying for truth to be revealed, justice to be upheld, and righteous men and women to be elected. You can view the prayer guide at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's a great and easy way to spend just a few moments each day praying in and for the upcoming elections with specific prayer points each day. And people are excited about it, and we'd love for more people to participate with us in that. And we have another great resource that people in our network really love. It's a special prayer texting service called CPI, the Capital Prayer Initiative. It is a texting line with a very limited number of urgent prayer requests that you can get sent directly to your phone when there is a key vote about to take place down at our state capitol, or legislation like a pro-life bill is being debated on the floor, and the NFA team is on site lobbying, working with lawmakers. And when an urgent prayer request comes up, we'll text it to everyone on that list, and it invites you to be a part of our mission. It gives you a quick update on what's going on, and then invites you to pray for a very urgent and specific need. If we want to see the cultural transformation and spiritual awakening that we want to see in our nation, it is always going to have to start with prayer. So you can sign up to get those text messages and join CPI by texting PRAYNFA, that's all caps, all one word, PRAYNFA, to 402-979-7729. That's text PRAYNFA to 402-979-7729. And you can join with us at Nebraska Family Alliance in praying for the elections in the coming weeks and days ahead. Because one thing is very clear this election: people want their voice to be heard. Anyone with a mobile device or a screen and a data connection can instantly send out their thoughts and opinions to hundreds and thousands of people, or simply from conversations with family, friends, and work colleagues to even local talk radio. People want their voice to be heard. But out of all the different mediums and platforms we have to voice our opinion, the single most important way to do so is at the ballot box. Early voting is already underway, and Election Day is coming up on November 6th. And the question that people need to be asking is, do I know where the candidates I will be voting for stand on key family values issues? This is why we at Nebraska Family Alliance have created the best, most comprehensive, quick, and easy-to-use voter guide in the entire state. It's at NebraskaVoterGuide.com. It's quick and easy. It's an issues-based voter guide, so it's specific to your address, so you can get a sample ballot of state and federal candidates that you will get to choose between, and you get a really great side-by-side comparison of where those candidates stand on the issues that matter most, on pro-life, on abortion, on religious freedom, parental rights, school choice, and so on. And this year, it's got information on all of the candidates, even if they didn't respond to the candidate questionnaire. We've got researched answers on statements that candidates have made publicly or past voting records that indicate where they are at on these key issues. And we don't endorse candidates. We don't endorse anyone or a specific party. The voter guide doesn't tell you how to vote. It just gives you the ability to compare candidates side by side based on where they stand on the issues. It only takes a couple of minutes, and you can even print out or email your selections or the candidate comparisons to yourself so you can take it with you if you're going to vote in person at the ballot box on November 6th. So this is available at NebraskaVoterGuide.com, and we're trying to get this to as many people as possible. We want to equip tens of thousands of Nebraskans with the information and tools to not just be a voter, but be an informed voter. And you can help us get there by helping spread the word about this, share it with your friends and family. And again, you don't even have to tell them how to vote or who they would vote for. Just say, hey, I checked out this voter guide, NebraskaVoterGuide.com. It was really quick and easy, and I got to learn more about the candidates. It's a great way to get this information in front of others, and it's a big, big way we can make a difference for families and Christian values here in our state. And that certainly includes continuing to advance the pro-life movement and defend unborn human life. You can't have good policy without good policymakers, and we need more policymakers who are willing to stand up for pro-life values and defend the unborn. It's a huge issue. We talk about it every year around elections because that's the issue that drives people. People want to know where you're at on the issue of abortion. And earlier this week, I was incredibly and gratefully surprised to hear one of the most unprecedented, solid, unapologetic, thorough assaults on pro-choice arguments on primetime television. It came from Ben Shapiro on his Sunday night Fox News special, and he delivered a monologue on abortion, but he didn't hold back. It wasn't over the top or distasteful, but he talked about the issue directly at length for what it is. He completely deflated the top pro-choice arguments and made the case, not from a biblical or spiritual standpoint, why we should protect the unborn, but just based on science and reason. And actually, while he was talking, forced people to look at images of unborn children and see them for what they are, as children, not as blobs of tissue or balls of goo, as human beings. And you can see that very clearly. And really, I thought it was remarkable and worth sharing, because you don't hear this type of a solid argument in defense of the unborn and really undermining of pro-choice arguments on primetime television almost ever. But that's exactly what Ben Shapiro did on his Fox News special this past week. And it's something that I believe every American needs to hear, because it bears repeating again and again, and it should be shared as widely as possible. So this is the monologue that Ben Shapiro gave. And the more people we can reach with this message, the more people we can get behind advancing the pro-life movement. Take a listen.
In all of the chaos regarding the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, we should remember one simple fact. If Kavanaugh were pro-choice, he would have been confirmed with 100 votes. He's clearly not an advocate for abortion, but Democrats didn't have the votes to stop him. So instead, Democrats decided to slander him as a gang rapist. Remember, Democratic opposition to Kavanaugh started not with Christine Blasey Ford, but with women in Handmaid's Tale outfits occupying the Senate confirmation hearing room, and pro-abortion protesters being dragged out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's not a shock that Planned Parenthood, the organization responsible for hundreds of thousands of abortions per year, openly threatens senators in poetry. Quote, "Roses are red, violets are blue. Senators, vote no on Kavanaugh, or else we're coming for you. Hashtag National Poetry Day, hashtag Stop Kavanaugh." Now that's romance. Abortion, to the vast majority of the political left, is a sacrament. It's not merely a political issue. It is a defining character issue. If you are pro-abortion, you are a good, generous, decent person who values women. If you are pro-life, you are an evil, repressive, nasty person who wants to control women's bodies. It's that view that leads to incidents like this one, in which a pro-life advocate was kicked in the face by a pro-abortion nutcase this week.
It's a baby. Yeah. It's someone who's raped and she gave birth and she decided to kill her 3-year-old child.
I meant to get your phone!
The pro-abortion movement suggests that pro-lifers are extreme. In reality, the extreme position on abortion is held by the Democratic Party. Their platform calls for legal abortion all the way until point of birth. But pro-abortion extremists get away with their rhetoric because they use euphemistic language to describe what exactly abortion is. In fact, the word abortion is itself a euphemism. The procedure of abortion isn't an anodyne polyp removal. It involves doing terminal violence to an unborn child. Ignoring that fact allows abortion advocates to avoid looking reality directly in the face. So, for just a few moments, let's look reality in the face. This is a picture of a 19-week-old baby. This is a human child. This is not a ball of goo. This is not a cluster of cells. In January, 44 Democrats in the United States Senate voted not to protect the rights of babies older than this unborn child. Only 3 Democrats, Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, and Bob Casey, voted to protect children at 20 weeks. Only 2 Republicans voted against such protection, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Take a good look at that baby. That is a human being with 0 rights, according to the mainstream of the Democratic Party. And human life doesn't begin at 20 weeks. This is a picture of a baby at 12 weeks, barely 3 months. You can see this baby with his hands near his chest. This is not a cluster of cells. This is not a ball of goo. His genitalia have already been formed. His liver and spleen produce red blood cells. This is an unborn human being. Not a single federally elected Democrat would vote for an abortion ban that would protect this baby's life. And life doesn't begin at 14 weeks. This is a picture of an unborn human being at 8 weeks. You can identify the head of this unborn human. You can see where the small buds are forming for arms and legs. But guess what? Life doesn't begin at 8 weeks either. It begins at fertilization, when a new human life is formed, a new human being with its own DNA. This human being is not its mother. It is not its father. It is not a polyp. If we found a human embryo on another planet, the headlines would rightly scream, "Human life found on Mars." Human life is a continuous process of growth from the moment of fertilization onward. Abortion is the killing of this human life. The later the abortion takes place, the more brutal the procedure. But no matter the brutality of the procedure, it is obvious that abortion is not some mere optional surgery to be performed for convenience. And it's even more obvious that those who want to protect the lives of the unborn aren't trying to control women's bodies. Those who cherish abortion are trying to control and dismember the bodies of the unborn. Think about that next time you see a radical feminist in a Handmaid's Tale outfit suggesting that you'd better respect her right to carve apart an unborn baby in the womb, or you're some sort of fascist. No more euphemisms.
That's what we're dealing with here. That's what is on the line there. We have to keep fighting so we can continue to advance the pro-life cause in Nebraska and pass more solid pro-life legislation to protect unborn human life. And it certainly helps when we have the most pro-life presidential administration in the history of the United States. And this is further evidenced by President Trump, who recently affirmed the right to life of Down syndrome babies in a powerful statement he released in recognition of Down Syndrome Awareness Month. Quote, "All people are endowed by their Creator with dignity and the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Despite some persistent myths and stigmas, even within the medical community, our nation strongly embraces the undeniable truth that a Down syndrome diagnosis is an opportunity to embrace God's gifts. I stand for life in all of its beautiful manifestations, and I and my administration will continue to condemn the prejudice and discrimination that Americans with Down syndrome too often endure. Every day, Americans with Down syndrome inspire us to live with great love, joy, and appreciation for our world and those who make it a truly unique and special place to live. Life is precious, and it is our moral duty to protect and defend it. That is from the President of the United States. How good is that? How beautiful. That's what the pro-life movement is about. It's about love and joy and acceptance and celebrating and protecting the dignity of every human life. And we have another important opportunity to do that, to show that love and recognition for every human life right now on Monday, October 15th, which is National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. This is such a somber but important day to bring recognition and awareness to pregnancy and infant loss. This is an issue that we've actually done a lot of work on at Nebraska Family Alliance the past 2 years, spearheading some really unique but important legislation to better assist parents and families who are dealing with pregnancy and infant loss, as well as passing the first bill in the entire country to create and provide an official state-issued commemorative birth certificate for babies that are lost to miscarriage, regardless of how far along the pregnancy was and regardless of when the miscarriage occurred. Nebraska is a leader on this issue and helping grieving families. We were proud to help that legislation pass, and we've got all of the information on how you or a loved one can obtain that state-issued commemorative birth certificate for miscarriages on our website at nebraskafamilyalliance.org/miscarriage. The certificates are really beautiful, very well done, extremely life-honoring. This is all about providing that recognition that there was a child that existed, that mattered, and helping provide some sense of closure to parents and giving them something tangible to hang on to that recognizes their child and that they can remember them by. This was a huge, huge accomplishment. We're the only state in the entire country that does this for families, and we're very proud of that. So again, if you or anyone that you know has been affected by this issue and might be interested in obtaining a state-issued commemorative birth certificate for a child that has been lost to miscarriage, you can get that information on our website, nebraskafamilyalliance.org/miscarriage. We wanted to be sure to help get the word out on that and keep spreading that news so more people know that the certificate is available and an option. It's completely optional. It's not automatically administered, but it's just one resource that we can help provide parents and families going through one of life's greatest trials. And it's the small things like that that can really make a world of difference. And that's about all the time we have for this week, but we also wanted to get the word out once again about the Social Conservative Event of the Year, Nebraska Family Alliance's 30th Anniversary Gala. It's coming up Friday, October 26th at the Embassy Suites in Lincoln. Come down to Lincoln on Friday. Join us for the gala. You won't want to miss it. And then you can go to the Husker game on Saturday. We've got the leading advocates for religious freedom all coming to Lincoln to speak to us and inspire us with their stories. Jack Phillips, the Christian cake baker from Colorado, who was at the center of the historic and most talked about Supreme Court decision of the year, will be there. We have Kelvin Cochran, a former fire chief of Atlanta who was fired for expressing his Christian beliefs, is going to be there with us to talk about overcoming that trial and persecution and how we can all continue to stand for religious freedom and family values. It's going to be such an inspiring and fun evening. We want to make sure that you can join us for that. All of the event information and tickets are available at nebraskafamilyalliance.org, and we look forward to seeing you there on Friday, October 26th. We hope you'll join us again next week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.